For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
While older homes have charm and character, the thing they often lack is an open floor plan, and that's something that more and more modern families are wanting. Well, the good news is that you don't have to stick with the layout offered in your older home.
One way to create an open feel in a closed space is to build a pass-through between the rooms. Here to tell us how to do just that is This Old House general contractor, Tom Silva. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So we're basically talking about ripping a hole in a wall. It sounds pretty difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But what do we need to keep in mind to make sure that we don't maybe uncover any surprises?
Well, I think the biggest thing you want to do is make sure that the second floor doesn't end up on the first floor.
Yeah, that's probably a good point.
That would be cutting into a structural wall, and you don't want to do that. So the first thing you need to do is find out if it's a bearing, load-bearing wall.
So what are some clues for that?
First thing I do is I'd go into the basement and I'd look at the way that the floor joists on the basement run. And if they run to the center of the building, then any wall that's in the center of the building that runs perpendicular to those joists is a load-bearing wall in most cases.
Now, what if you have a finished basement and you can't see that?
Well, then try to go to the attic and get up into the attic and see the ceiling joists in the attic. In most cases, they're going to run the same way. You know, there's a lot of options. If in doubt, get an engineer involved.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good point.
But once you figured out that the joists are resting on a load-bearing wall, now you got a whole different problem and a whole different issue. You can cut into that wall, but you got to know what you're doing to cut into it.
That probably goes beyond the scope of DIY at that point. But let's say that it's not load-bearing and you're pretty much figuring it's just a partition wall.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to open it up and get some more light in there. What's the first thing you do? Kind of lay out your opening?
Well, you can lay out the opening, but again, you want to inspect for any pipes. You want to inspect for any ductwork. You want to inspect for any electrical work.
You can't just go willy-nilly like people really want to do.
Well, everybody, you know, demolition is easy.
That's the fun part.
The fun part, it's quick and it's very gratifying. You say, wow, I did that in 15 minutes, you know, but you got to make sure you don't cut a water line, a heat line, or ductwork. And so, again, go to the basement, find if there's anything going up. And you'll see it. If there's an electrical wire there, get an electrician. If it's a plumbing or a heating line, hot water, get a plumber involved. Get them on call or standby just in case.
Now, here's a question I have. Let's say we've cleared that. We want to try to open this up. Is there a way to plan this so that you don't actually open up more wall than what you'll end up in terms of the actually finished space? In other words, sometimes people tend to take out too much wall and then they have to put wall back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so how do you avoid that extra work?
Well, what I like to do is I actually figure out my finished dimension.
Okay.
I figure that out, and then I draw it on the wall exactly how I want it to go. And then I take a reciprocating saw, and I take the saw, and I lay it down. And what I mean by lay it down, the handle end of the saw will go really close to the wall. So when I turn that saw on, just the tip of the blade goes through that wall board. And I cut all the way across the top, two sides and across the bottom, and then I pull the piece out. Now, I haven't cut any of the structure.
Mm-hmm. So you can see really what's going on.
Right, and I haven't worried about hitting any wires or pipes because the blade hasn't been in deep.
Good point.
You know, you could go the old-fashioned ways. When I was a kid, we used to do it with a saw. You'd do it with a keyhole saw, and you'd cut your hole. You can actually feel a pipe. You can feel a wire.
You hope.
Yeah, well, I never did cut a wire with a keyhole saw. I have cut it with a reciprocating saw, and it's not fun. So once you've done that, you've peeled it out away. If you don't have any pipes or wires in the way, then you can cut away the structure and get it reframed.
And basically, when you reframe it, you're really just trying to create an opening to attach the drywall to on the insides of that jamb, right? There's
right.
not so much of a structural issue in terms of any load at that point.
Right. Now, once I have my finished opening in the drywall, I then calculate the difference of the thickness of two 2x, and if I need to put a small header up top, I calculate that. I then go down where each stud is. I put a level line on the wall, and I take my saw, and I then drive it into the wall, holding my saw as square and level as possible. Just cut the stud off, tap it, and pull it out of the opening, And then I can frame it down into the open.
So basically, you plunge cut right into the wall,
yep,
and just deep enough so that when you actually rebuild it, it sits flush with the original opening.
Exactly. And then all I have to do is tape over the crack where the saw blade went in.
That's really great. And yeah. I think it's interesting because if you're doing a pass-through, I mean, it really gives you a lot of interesting opportunities as far as use of the space.
Yeah, it gives you the illusion that the space has just been brought into another dimension. I mean, you've brought the other room into this room with, and still have place to put the kitchen table or the living room couch, and it's great. But, you know, one thing I recommend whenever you're cutting a drywall with a reciprocating saw or a skill saw or anything like that is always have a good vacuum close by the blade when cutting. Have someone hold it close, but make sure that you have a good filter in the vacuum also, because you don't want to blow the dust right around the whole house.
Yeah, good advice. Boy, I tell you, it's a great project. It really does open up the possibilities when you open up the wall. You could even have a sort of a bar there where you could do like a kitchen sort of nook kind of thing. Yeah.
Yep.
A lot
of
design options.
Pass the drinks through.
Right.
There you go.
And I mean, really, I have a friend. Both of us live in like the exact same Dutch colonial across the street from each other. And I love the charming sort of separate rooms and the spaces that it creates because it's cozy. And she just wants to blow every wall out of her space. So it's interesting because you see the difference in families and their use of the space and what they want. And it's good to know that all options are out there.
Yeah. Somebody likes the open floor plan and somebody likes it closed in a little bit.
So the bottom line is that this is a project you can do, but if it's a load-bearing wall, that's where you really need to get a pro to help.
Well, you should get a pro to help. To always have an engineer involved to find out what size header you're going to need. I've done plenty out of them, and you've probably done a few of them. It's just something that you don't want to tackle without some knowledge.
Good advice. Tom Silva from TV's This Old House, thank you so much for stopping by The Money Pit.
Always a pleasure.
All right, catch the current season of This Old House and Ask This Old House on PBS. For local listings and step-by-step videos of many common home improvement projects, visit thisoldhouse.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.